was the CEO of the Chiswick to actually build this tool, but he deployed as his name back to Europe. So here we go again. The ideally, we're trying to set this experiment up at Chiswick. It's a we have all the materials at hand. We have the walkover weighing device set up, and I guess what we really want is the an accurate timing mechanism, an accurate geolocation tracking device. So ostensibly, what we could do then is measure diurnally animal intake, pasture selection, look at the various pasture characteristics, knowing full well that with all these there is some kind of grazing diurnal variation patterns. We know that from sheep. There's been some published work on looking at diurnal variation for sheep and what that selects. There's a little bit of work done on cattle, but I think a lot more information needs to be teased out along those lines, particularly if we need to improve pasture utilisation to in turn improve production. And I'll go on that very shortly. But of course, what we can do is we can relate all these things directly to the typical walkover weighing technique, a lightweight change, and the change of lightweight change. Of course, this is almost from a day-by-day routine. We could look at the effect on methane production and other animal welfare issues. I guess what we're trying to do is look at the phenotypic characterisation of livestock behaviour in relation to improving pasture utilisation. We know full well that there's a lot of spatial variability across the paddock. Not only spatial variability, but also temporal variability. The pasture growth rates here from that time, from when was it, 2003 to 2006, you can see this huge variability in speaks and troughs across that time. Also, with the amount of biomass that's present, there's also a huge amount of variability. So, you know, are there some parts of the paddock that we can reconsider as being inefficient as far as livestock production is concerned and put that into other areas of enterprise to make the land use more efficient? We can see here from EM38 data. This is EM38 data that tells us about the amount of depth of the soil constituents and soil moisture. We can see here, this is at Newstead, the higher regions there, the northern part there, it's higher regions, high reaches, coming down to lowest to slopes, right down to valley floors. The valley floors are far more productive than the higher reaches. Look at that in relation to the amount of biomass that's produced, although the biomass is very low, and this was about a year, we can see that the valley floors, where the supply of soil moisture is in fact growing far more biomass. This leads on to variable rate application, and it also probably leads on to apply better pastures, to improve pastures, to make more efficient gains. This is a map of gross annual pasture production derived from our pasture growth rate model. It's the cumulative gross annual pasture produced. It's the additive value. And you can see that those areas that I was talking about earlier do in fact grow far more biomass over the year than the higher ridges. The range, of course, is between about 6.5 to 9 tonnes. I was hoping that you might not be today, but I think you might find those values are fairly close. I would expect higher values around about 12 tonnes, but again, 2008 was very much a drought year. Now, from Matthew's assumptions, he's saying that for every 1% increase in pasture utilisation equates to $30 in his pocket. Therefore, we can, looking at these numbers, the lower reaches are far more economic compared to the higher reaches. Now, what do we do then? So we increase the productivity of the higher regions, to the higher regions, so the higher areas, and can we improve pasture production? As he said here, that boys is only grazing to less than 50% efficiency, and you'd like to get up as high as 70%. So another property, of course, another location, but here you can see that the animals are in fact deploying themselves over the landscape, and particularly staying with those areas that are high producing areas. You've got ask the question why, and within those areas, within those livestock, which ones are in fact doing better than their mates, and then ask the question why are they doing better. Because we know that the live weight change, the live weight gain, isn't universal in a herd. There are in fact variabilities. We'd like to know more about those variabilities and characterise those variabilities. Are they, what do they select and why do they select? Here's a very classic example of three cows, with three cows, with three colours, and you can see that lots of questions we need to answer within the framework or within the herd, so we can't select those animals that do better simply by using animal tracking devices. Now, before I go, I'd like to put this slide up. This is from This is from the review of the Australian beef cattle industry. Earlier, and you can see that those beef regions have very, very different northern beef people may have a different view on how they believe precision farming can help them. Southern beef producers will probably have quite a different attitude and a different aspect than that. Likewise, so the guys in the west, and maybe so likewise, they have the guys with the humans. Thank you.